Good evening. I'm having a very strange experience these days of collecting a lot of the talks that I've been giving over the last so many years. I had no memory of how many talks and how many years and how many subjects. How much we've covered is it's remarkable, really. I'd forgotten. But there it is on the blog, the website, this whole long list of talks that go back many years. And you can just pick them up and the computer gives it back. And it's my own voice and my own words, so it's a very weird feeling. I've been asked to put together material from my talks into one coherent 10 or 20 pages for a possible book that's being put together with Zen teachers, local, I don't know, I guess American Zen teachers, Dharma talks. So it's a big project, bigger than I thought when I said yes. And so I've been up to here in it, and I feel a little confused by my own words at this point. To listen to it and realize I don't know where any of those words came from. I didn't make them up and then say them. They just come. And then they exist. They continue to exist. And so it's bewildering, really. So if I'm a little confused tonight, that's why. Forgot my rock, Sue. And we did the third precept last week, but we didn't talk about the fourth precept, so I assume nobody has been carrying around a precept this week to work on. But I thought we could talk about it in some way, anyway, or maybe go back and cover the ones that we've already talked about a bit more, since each time it comes up, it feels new. No killing, no stealing, no lying. It's the fourth one we did last week. No sexual misconduct. Or we can go on to no praise or blame. No praising self and blaming others. Isn't that the fifth one?
I don't think we did lying.
Oh, you're right. We haven't, have we? No, we didn't do lying. Oh, that's one of the best ones.
I'm liking talks with this.
Well, we can talk about it tonight, and then you can take it home and do it some more. It's the best one because it's the one that we're so sure we don't do because we've been taught so well not to do that, and we try so hard to be good. And yet, as we really notice our behavior, we find that we're pressed. Stretching the truth, I guess you could say, more than we would like to notice, to protect ourselves, to protect our own self-image. Oh, I would never have done a thing like that. I don't want people to know I did something like that. Let's pretend, or let's make up a story to cover it. It's all pretty innocent, really, except that it puts the mind out of balance as far as being honest about oneself. it's a little dishonest. And not in a way of being good or bad, but in a way of being true to oneself, to really being true to one's own nature, which is flawed, which is full of mistakes, which, with all the best intentions, stumbles and falls. It isn't that the precepts are going to make us better, except in the way that they wake us up to how we are and help us to admit that we are as we are, that we're not this super person, superpower person who can go around all shiny and perfect and good, but a much smaller and more modest person who stumbles and needs to wake up over and over. So, what is your experience about truth-telling, about honesty, about stretching the truth? And are there times when it's necessary to not tell the truth? Now, there are always the moral questions. If we're going to save somebody's life, then we tell a lie. Or, you know, if it's really crucial to protect somebody else, then we do that. So there's no perfect fixed way of any of these. There are times when we need to break the precepts. But we need to know when we're doing it.
Deciding when the truth will harm someone, hurt their feelings, give them some information that will be difficult for them to process. That puts you in a whole different mindset of deciding what the impact of what you say has. And so that's a whole another qualification in thinking about the impact of your words rather than what is the truth, you know, what is the real circumstances, or what I really feel. So, you can't always know the impact.
Yes. But you can always know whether you're protecting yourself. You can always recognize that, I'm saying this not for the sake of somebody else, but for my own sake. And you're saying that if you are protecting somebody else, that's a whole different state of mind from protecting oneself.
Yeah. It's just hard to think of telling the truth in situations other than work or when you were a kid. I don't know. It's the truth of relationships.
Well, it's interesting. Usually when we take this one home, people come back and say, I had no idea I did this as much as I found I do. Just no idea at all that I've found myself stretching the truth all over the place to protect myself and not realizing it. We don't realize that's what we're doing until we give ourselves the opportunity to notice it. So that will be our task this week, is to entertain ourselves and see exactly how this works.
Well, I am apparently a lying liar because I have lots of recent experiences with this. And one I wanted to talk about was a couple of weeks back, I had this, to me, terrifying experience in which while I was driving, I pissed someone else off, and we ended up, I was going to the grocery store, and I just kept going. I didn't know I'd make them so angry, and they followed me.
Oh,
and when
boy.
I parked, they got out of their car and started yelling at me and telling me how wrong I was. And when I tried to, I got back. I told them how they were wrong, and then I started trying to go to get into the store, and they were trying to, like, it was a man, and he was taller than me, he was older, and he was trying to block me, he was, like, doing this little dance, but there were people around, so I knew it couldn't, like, keep going, and finally he was like, why don't you try having sex sometime and make you a more agreeable woman, and walked off, and I just sort of was in this huge adrenaline rush, and I walked into the store, and I finally calmed down. And I was like, what am I doing? I'm just going to go home. So I did. And I go to message Tom, my husband, about it. Because I just had this, I couldn't stop shaking. I was so upset. Uh-huh. And I wanted him to, like, tell me everything's fine. That crazy person is gone. You'll never, you know. And so I start telling him about it. And he just doesn't seem very impressed by my experience. And I'm typing, and I'm not getting the reaction I wanted, and so I start sort of embellishing. I told you guys everything that I remember happening, but I can't even remember how I escalated the situation, and like finally, he just never gave it to me, and so I'm rereading what I typed to see how can I change the story. and that was, I think, because it was like the little permanent record of our dialogue back and forth. I was like, Britt, that's not what happened. You just made that up. And the amazing thing was is that I didn't say to myself, I'll change the story. I'll make it more exciting. Mm-hmm. My fingers just did it for me. And you know, and so I backtracked in my statement to Tom, and he was even less impressed, and I just gave up on the interaction. But I don't know, it was interesting to catch myself lying without realizing I was looking for a reaction. I don't think I was exactly trying to protect myself. I probably was trying to make myself even more right.
Yes.
Because I got back. Which you should never do with crazy people who approach you in the parking lot. I wanted to tell you.
Yeah.
But I don't know. That was interesting to see.
Very interesting. It makes a wonderful story. It is dangerous. What has, you know, you don't know how.
Yes.
Who you're encountering in the,
yes,
in a car. It can be very scary. Oof.
Thank you. I wish Tom had said that.
That sounds terrifying.
Yeah. But that happens. I know. And then you try to get through, trying to, you know. Listen, this is how it was. And then it gets more and more dramatic.
Yeah.
Gorgeous.
Didn't you say, Angie, that we can't really remember them?
So
that's what they say.
No, I at the time I have a further written record contracting how it went. Some of what I told Tom. What I told you guys is what I remember, but you're right.
That's not even it.
Yeah,
it's less than that.
You know, we participate in group lives all the time because we want things to be a certain way. You know, we do it as a culture, we do it in families, we do it in our personal relationships. We say things so that the, for lack of a better word, the kind of the drama that we expect stays static. So we create this overlay of words to perpetuate this space that we live in. And if we actually took all the language out of it and just looked at it like we were animals without language, it would not be so dramatic and it would not be so full of implied meanings. I mean, I think we put things over with implied meanings on it, and that's where the, quote, dishonesty comes in. And so it's these stories that we tell that really are the things to examine and watch for, you know, in terms of, it's not as much, you know, as banal as, oh, I took three cookies and I said I only took one. It's a bigger lie. It's a bigger thing that we say, and we don't even know that we do it because we think it matches what we think reality should be.
Exactly. We do. We fit into the culture. Or try to fit into the culture, and fear not to fit in, because then there's alienation and abandonment and all of those things that we're afraid of. So it takes a tremendous amount of courage to actually tell the truth on that level.
It's very radical to do that.
It's extremely radical, and very few people are able to do that, or even able to think to do that. Unless there's some really big issue, like the Vietnam War. I've watched it happen a number of times in my long life. The McCarthy hearings, I remember, when I was in my teens, was the first example when everybody was scared to death of communists suddenly. For various political reasons, this whole thing built up and became such a big issue that McCarthy began to accuse and blame famous people, famous writers and philosophers and movie actors, and get them put in jail and get them losing their life, their livelihood. It was disastrous. Blacklisting so people couldn't get a job anymore. It was dreadful. And so many people believed it was the right thing. And a few people did not. My parents did not. They just thought it was a boondoggle from beginning to end. But my grandmother, my father's mother, just thought he was a hero. And he was the one who was the brave one speaking out the truth. And it wasn't until they televised those hearings that grandmother saw him and saw what he was doing and could hear it. And she just flipped and realized, oh, she was making a mistake. And the whole country did that. When the truth became exposed like that, then people could see. And it's happened during the Vietnam War, where everybody gets on the bandwagon and let's go and kill all those people because of who knows what, but let's kill them. And then slowly enough people get upset about it and it becomes more clear what it actually is, and then people want to stop. But it takes a tremendous amount of insight not to be caught by the social passion that is usually so complex it's really almost impossible to know what the truth of it is. It's a wonderful point, a very troubling point, really. And it feels like survival to us. Now, if we don't fit in, if we don't agree, it's scary. Samia?
I'm going to try to recap this in my head to see if I'm on the same train here. So, simply, you know, I have a situation here. I know I'm tweaking it because it's for the good of everybody, as long as I'm not selfish about it, that it's just benefiting me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have to take care of yourself first, but I'm tweaking the truth because it's going to help that person and, you know, for the good of the whole situation. 2 months later, things change. My daughter goes, why didn't you tell me the whole story? Mm-hmm. So things are coming up. So can we take it as if I am able to explain and keep track of the truth the whole time, that I know what I did to the best of my ability, and be able to explain it then as it was the truth then, now it's a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it as simple as that? Like, taking each moment as it comes.
Yeah.
As long as we know what we're doing.
Yes. Yes. It's that knowing that's important.
Because things can change later, and things can come back, and it might look that might have not been the best thing to do, but it was then.
Yes.
So that, hopefully our genuineness would carry through.
Hopefully, but sometimes, especially dealing with a teenager, it doesn't always compute in the same way.
I'm trying to look at the no-lining thing.
Yes.
Is that what we're talking about?
Yes, exactly. So sometimes we have to say as much as we can for a situation and not the whole thing. Or say it in a way that turns out not to be exactly right later.
I'll give a silly example. I just went to visit my parents, and my mom, she's like almost 90, let it think for my dog, you know. And it's kind of big, and I was going to bring it with me, and I had plenty of room in my bag. But I put it there, and I totally forgot to bring it, to pack it. And my parents were saying goodbye. I was somewhere else. My parents were saying goodbye. Did the thing fit in the bag? Yeah, it did. And I'm saying, I can't tell them I didn't take it. My mom is just going to be so disappointed. She spent all this time. And I've never lied like so bluntly. I was too. And all of a sudden, I find myself this old, half-decent woman feeling guilty about it. And, you know, my parents wouldn't care if I said no, but they'd be disappointed.
Yeah.
My mom is so happy I'm taking it to the dog and everybody could see what a nice thing. So I called my girlfriend. I said, please, what am I going to do? She says, I'll mail it there tomorrow. But for like a whole day. What if my parents called me the next day? Did Stella the dog love it? You know, but it's funny how you start fretting over this,
Yeah. Well,
so we shouldn't worry about little things like that.
Not really.
Right.
But notice it.
Yeah.
You know, in a way you were protecting yourself also.
Because I didn't want them to be disappointed.
Yeah, but you also didn't want them to see that you didn't follow through in the way that you had promised.
Well, I wanted to take it. I was excited. I forgot.
Yeah, but you forgot. And you couldn't say you forgot.
That's true. Yeah. So, don't worry about protecting how they feel, is what you're trying to say?
No, I'm saying just notice that there was an element in there of you protecting yourself as well as protecting them.
See, but I didn't even see that till you said it.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's why the precepts are so helpful.
So, most of the time, we're not even going to say it if you're like me.
Unless you take the precepts to heart.
I guess I didn't know.
Yeah. So funny, isn't it?
Scary.
Yeah.
I guess it becomes being blind.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh no, I forgot it. Well, I guess sometimes it makes life a lot easier if we just say things the way they are. We try to
not really.
I have the opposite problem. I've been accused of like not having a filter, mm-hmm. and people have asked me, people close to me, like, why do you have to say everything? Can you like try to protect the people around you? So yeah, I mean, I just want to put the other side, because then it's not easy either. You're hurting yourself and people.
Yeah.
Anything you say about that? You know,
yes.
Sometimes people tend to me, well, you didn't need to tell me that. You just think it.
Well, I think we're so used to prevarication and covering up that it's upsetting for people when that doesn't happen. And often we don't want to know the real truth about whatever it is. And you're very upfront about it, but not accusatory at all. You just offer it. And it's hard for people to take. You know, just like Samia, it's we'd rather not. We would really much rather not. Not know about that, about ourselves, and try to cover up as much as we can and smooth life so that it seems like everything is going according to our control and our plan, even though that's not the truth of it at all. And things are a lot less complicated if we're upfront about things than if we start making up stories. It's our self-story that causes so much complication, so much pain. Sasha?
I also think it's worth noting that there's a difference between telling the truth and stating every opinion you have.
Oh, yes.
I was going to say, I think the truth is pretty subjective.
Yeah. It's truth, and opinions are opinions. I think it's being measured about sharing your opinion is not the same thing as like feeling like you're telling the quote truth.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. Very important.
Yeah.
Yes.
We speak our own truth, right? That's all we know.
Well, I mean, if your truth is I hate your sweater.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Is it true? It's true to the person saying it. How they feel.
Is it necessary to tell
that's
people
what
how
I don't
you
know.
Feel? Because are your feelings true? They're just feelings.
They're true to the person.
Are they true?
But if you're relating with somebody else and somebody asks you, how do you feel about my sweater, then you're free to say.
Yeah.
But if you just walk up to somebody and say, I hate your sweater, it's not.
I don't really get this.
So this is like drunkenness.
Yeah, this is all about relationship. This is all about self and other. about how we relate and how we can know each other as with the same dignity and self-respect that we wish for ourselves, that we find it in others, in the way that we can be the truth for each other in a kind way, in a way that isn't, again, magnifying the self for the sake of the self rather than for the relationship. In a way, our life is about nourishing our relationships, cultivating our relationships in the best way that we can, finding ways to love each other. And again, we're so afraid to expose ourselves that we fall into these ways because we're trying to protect something that in truth doesn't even exist in the way that we think it does. It's all made up. It's all just a fairy tale. Completely imaginary. So we protect other people somewhat, but I think we're all have good frontal lobes, and we can use our discerning mind to know what to say and when to say it if we allow ourselves to use that do that practice. Right speech. Speak if it's necessary, Buddha said. So we speak a lot of unnecessariness with our opinions and our self-aggrandizement, the great me. But we don't have to. Wendy?
It's 8 o'clock.
Oh, thank you. I forgot my watch also.
I know this.